Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the earnings conference call for Satin Creditcare Network Limited, hosted by JM Financial Institutional Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mayank Mistry from JM Financial Institutional Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
On behalf of JM Financial, I welcome all participants on the call and thank the management of Satin Creditcare Network Limited for the opportunity to host this call. For today's call, we have with us the members of management and leadership team. From the management team, we have Dr. H.P. Singh, Chairman and MD, Mr. Jugal Kataria, Group Controller, and Ms. Aditi Singh, Chief Secretary Officer. I now hand over the conference to Dr. H.P. Singh for his opening remarks, post which we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mayank. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining to discuss our company's performance during Q4 and financial year 2024-25. As we have stepped into a new financial year, we do so with a sense of satisfaction, determination, reflection, and a continued focus on long-term value creation. We are pleased to walk you through Satin's performance over the past year. Before we begin, I trust you have had a chance to review our quarterly results and investor presentation. If not, they are readily available on our website and stock exchanges. There is a saying that sometimes disruption is the only way to shake us out of complacency and force transformation. This sentiment perfectly captures the spirit of 525, a year many in India's microfinance sector might remember as a testing period, others as a wake-up call. The MFI industry stood at a critical juncture, facing formidable challenges. Institutes had to navigate a shifting landscape, clients experienced heightened vulnerability, and the sector as a whole was compelled to rethink long-held assumptions. It forced the sector to pause, reflect, and reset. These disruptions served as catalysts, driving deep introspection, operational recalibration, and a renewed focus on fundamentals. And while the immediate impact was tough, it reinforced our belief that true strength is built long before it's tested. It's embedded in the model, not forged in the model. A belief that has guided us at every step. At Satin, we have always identified the undercurrents early and aligned ourselves to face them head on. As we often say, never wait for the storm to hit, we prepare for it. That's why our approach has always been rooted in building a future-ready, sustainable model. We plan 5 years ahead, not just 5 quarters. What you see today isn't an overnight outcome. It's the result of decades of discipline, consistent execution, and bold decision-making. Take demonetization, for example. Despite our high exposure in Uttar Pradesh, where PAR 1 peaked at around 45%, we remained focused, quickly brought delinquencies under control. During COVID, while stress spread across the sector, our credit costs remain amongst the lowest, as highlighted by multiple analyst reports. And during the Assam crisis, rather than exiting the market, deepened our commitment, reinforced controls, and today, I can proudly say Assam stands as one of our best performing states. Every step we've taken from managing crisis to building internal systems has contributed to the strong foundation where we stand on today. This long-term mindset, this purpose-first approach is what allowed us to navigate FY25 with steadiness and strength. While many were fighting, we were executing a plan already in motion, and today that difference is visible in our performance, in our stability, and in the trust we continue to earn. Our performance isn't the result of a single breakthrough. It's the cumulative impact of years of strategy, structure, and staying true to our vision. We made tough calls when they mattered. We stayed disciplined when the easier path was to chase growth. We chose quality over scale, relationships over transaction, and systems over shortcuts. And because of that, we didn't just shield ourselves. We carved our own path, positioned ourselves to lead, and laid the foundation for a legacy defined by foresight and purpose. For a deeper look into these strategic initiatives, please refer to slide 5 of our investor presentation. As a result, We are proud to be emerging as one of the top performers in the industry once again. We delivered our 15th consecutive quarter of profitability, reinforcing the strength and consistency of our financial performance. For the full financial year, our standalone PAT stood at 217 crore, with a 41 crore reported in Q4 FY25. We are also pleased to report that our performance remained closely aligned with our stated guidance. Year-on-year AUM growth stood at 7%, while credit cost for FY25 was well managed at 4.6%, within the guided range of  4.5%-5%. Before we get into the operational and financial details of the reporting year, we would like to share that Guardrails 2 has now been fully rolled out across our operations. Our internal policies and systems have been realigned accordingly to ensure consistent and responsible underwriting across our operations. New framework in place, we are confident the industry will soon reap the fruit of its implementation in the form of greater transparency, improved asset quality, and stronger stakeholder protection. Additionally, it will help us keep a close check on how much debt each household is taking so the clients don't become overburdened, supporting long-term financial stability for them. We would now like to draw your attention to slides 19 and 20 on the asset quality update. Since November 24, we witnessed a sustained and meaningful reversal in PAR trends, a clear sign of recovery and discipline taking hold across the portfolio. PAR 1 improved significantly, spanning by 192 basis points from 6.8% in September 24 to 4.9% by March 25. We also saw a positive shift in PAR 90 that stood at 3.7%, highlighting our ability to arrest forward flows, a result of strong client engagement, early intervention strategies, and a risk management framework that continues to deliver. Further, this improvement was visible across geographies, particularly in our top four states, Uttar Pradesh, Bihar, Assam, and West Bengal. Among these, the top four states, which together account for approximately 61% of our on-book portfolio, reported an average PAR 90 of 3.3%, comfortably below our national average. While we did see a slight deterioration in Bihar's PAR 90, primarily due to the impact of Karza Mukti Abhiyan and client migration, we are actively addressing this situation through strengthened engagement and targeted collection strategies within the regulatory framework and MFIN guidelines already in place. However, it's noting that PAR 1 in Bihar improved slightly, standing at 6.6% in Q4 FY25 compared to 6.8% in December 24, an early indicator of stabilization. Coming to the stress states, which are Punjab, Rajasthan, Maharashtra, Odisha, and Jharkhand, we've begun to see early signs of recovery. While challenges remain, the early signs of signals are encouraging, showing a clear reversal. To build on this momentum, we are further strengthening our underwriting processes in these geographies, ensuring that new client acquisition is more selective and risk-aware. It is safe to say that our strong geographic presence continues to anchor the overall resilience of our portfolio. Complementing this narrative is our conservative and forward-looking provisioning strategy, which further strengthens our ability to withstand volatility and safeguard asset quality. As of March 25, we hold on-book provisions of 280 crores, representing 3.3% of the on-book portfolio, double the RBI requirement of 144 crores. We have also continued to enhance our Stage 3 coverage ratio, which stands at 62.3%, up from 60.4% a year ago. Additionally, we recovered approximately 38 crores against write-off during FY20, made possible by the relentless efforts of our teams on the ground who rose to the occasion when it mattered the most. Furthermore, zero DPD collection efficiency for the month of March 25 stood at 99.8%. In terms of growth, we continue to expand in a calibrated and sustainable manner. As of March 2025, our consolidated assets under management grew by 8% year-on-year to 12,784 crores, while the standalone AUM increased by 7% year-on-year to 11,316 crores. For FY25, we disbursed 10,663 crores on a consolidated basis, a growth of 1% YOY, while standalone disbursements stood at 9,837 crores, up 1.5% YOY. It's worth noting that FY24 was a stronger year for the industry. In contrast, FY25 posed a tougher operating landscape. Yet, even in a more demanding environment, we surpassed our previous year's disbursement figure, a reflection of our structural strength and consistent execution. Even incremental growth in a challenging year is a very strong indicator of long-term stability and strong leadership. I'd like to briefly touch on the current developments in Karnataka and Tamil Nadu. The new proposed bills by the respective state governments aimed at curbing coercive recovery practices are intended for unregulated financials. While we are a well-regulated RBI-licensed NBFC, we are still taking steps, even though these states represent only a small portion of our overall portfolio, with Karnataka at 69 crore and Tamil Nadu at 227 crore. As a precautionary step, we have consciously curtailed disbursement in these regions. We continue to monitor the situation closely and remain committed to maintaining portfolio quality through proactive and region-specific measures. Our network continues to deepen its reach. On a consolidated level, we now operate 1,568 branches across 529 districts in 29 states and UTs, while on a standalone basis, we have 1,454 branches. This extensive footprint provides us with a strong distribution platform to serve underserved markets and reinforces our commitment to financial inclusion. Our client base stood at 33.6 lakhs on consolidated basis. Moving to the financials for FY25, our consolidated revenue grew by 16.1% year-on-year to 2,602 crores. On a standalone basis, revenue stood at 2,377 crores, reflecting a 15.9% growth. Our pre-provisioning operating profit came in at rupees 754 crores on a consolidated basis, growing 3%, while standalone PPOP reached rupees 736 crores, up 5.3% year-on-year. These results reflect our continued focus on operational efficiency. On a consolidated basis, our net interest margin stood at 12.61%, with the standalone figure at 13.03%. These margins reflect a stable performance in a year marked by sector-wide pressure has faced narrowing spreads due to asset quality challenges and declining yields. The marginal yield loss during the year was primarily due to higher NPAs in FY25 compared to FY24, along with increased interest reversal on write-offs. Our GNPA level remained well under control as of March 25. Moreover, operating expenses were temporarily elevated due to sector-specific headwinds, standing at 6.49% consolidated and 6.31% standalone for FY25. We continue to focus on operational efficiency and effects and expect margin stability to improve as the environment normalizes. Consolidated basis, ROA and ROE stood at 1.69% and 7.53% respectively. On a standalone basis, ROA stood at 2.07% and ROE at 7.86% respectively. Coming on to the borrowing front, we continue to operate on a strong and well-balanced funding base. Even our marginal cost of borrowing decline of 68 basis points, it stood at 11.2% for FY25 as compared to 11.9% for FY24. During the quarter, we successfully raised a US$100 million syndicated social term loan through external commercial borrowing, ECB, further diversifying our lending base. Despite the challenging environment, we not only secured this funding but also onboarded 14 new lenders, signifying a clear reflection of the trust and confidence we've built among our stakeholders. The company's financial position on standalone basis remains very strong with CRAR of 25.9%. As of 31st March 2025, the company has adequate liquidity of approximately 1,217 crores, coupled with undrawn sanction of 1,243 crores. Robust liquidity position ensures that the company is well positioned to meet all debt obligations comfortably without dependency on external liquidity, thereby enhancing investor confidence. On the ratings and recognition front, we are proud to share several key milestones. We received the SQS2 Sustainability Quality Score from Moody's rating for our social financing framework, reaffirming our commitment to ESG excellence. We are also recognized among the top 25 best workplaces in BFSI 2025, the top 50 best workplaces in health and wellness by Great Place to Work India, a reflection of our people-first culture. Additionally, Satin was ranked 12th globally and received the Platinum Award in the Financial Diversified Services category for our FY23-24 annual and integrated report at the prestigious Vision Awards by League of American Communication Professionals USA. This accolade reflects our commitment to transparent communication, high-quality reporting, and global best practices in stakeholder engagement. I want to briefly speak about our people. We have proactively implemented multiple employee welfare initiatives to improve engagement and retention. We believe in nurturing internal talent and providing growth opportunities within the organization. Our leadership team built over the years continues to show exceptional commitment and strategic vision. As certain, our vision that Bharat banks better is deeply personal and it's a commitment we pursue tirelessly. A commitment to ensure that every household, every entrepreneur and every aspiring dreamer in rural India has access to responsible, reliable and inclusive financial services. In doing so, we are proud to contribute to the broader vision of Viksit Bharat, developed self-reliant India and where growth reaches the last mile. In closing, we are moving up with confidence and remain focused on our mission and on the road ahead. Our performance this year is not just a reflection of financial execution, but of the strength of our people, the trust of our clients, the resilience of our systems, and the strong support of our stakeholders. Now let me give you and run you through the financial and operational highlights of the company. Starting with the consolidated highlights, we have a customer base of 34 lakhs as on 31st March 2025, with presence spanning in 1,568 branches across 529 districts in 29 states and UTs of India. Our top four states contribute to 56% of total AUM. As at Q4 FY25, the states are UP, Bihar, Assam and West Bengal. Coming to standalone highlights, our average ticket size of MFI lending for the year stood at 53,000 as against 40 FY24. We have a well-diversified customer base of 32.9 lakh clients with 76% rural exposure. Pan-India presence with 1,454 branches. Shareholders' equity stood at 2,843 crore as on 31st March 2025. GNPA as on March 25 stood at 3.7%. The overall provision coverage ratio increased to 89% versus 83% in March 24. Total borrowing stood at 7,887 crore as on 31st March 2020. Debt to equity ratio as on 31st March 2025 stood at 2.8x. As on 31st March 2025, 97.4% of our districts have less than 1% of AUM. An update on subsidiaries. As a one-stop diversified financial services provider for rural India, our subsidiaries working collectively are expanding their financial access. Leveraging our strong microfinance outreach, we provide affordable housing and retail MSME loans to clients who have completed two or more loan cycles with us and require higher credit support. Satin Housing Finance Limited has now reached an AUM of 920 crores, which grew by 22% YOY, having presence across 19 states with 9,021. SHFL has a 100% retail book, GNPA of 2.8% on 31st March
25. Please enter your PIN for the...
Your passcode has been confirmed. Please wait while you are joined.
Hello? Hi, Alex.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Can we continue?
Yes, please go ahead.
The company has 32 active lenders, including NHB refinance, CRA of 52.2% and gearing of 2.1x, PAT of FY25 stood at 4 crores, credit rating of A- stable from ICRA and Infomerix. Satin FinServ Limited, the company's MSME lending arm, has reached an AUM of 548 crores. We are running down the business correspondent book and focusing on building retail MSME book going forward. MSME on-book portfolio grew by 58%, CRAR of 37.6% and gearing of 2.3x, PAT stood at 7.5 crore, 21 active lenders including banks, impact funds, etc. and a credit rating of A- stable from ICRA. Lastly, thank you for joining us today and for working alongside with us as we build a very strong and more inclusive and more sustainable future. With this, I would like to open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Pranav Gupta from Ionos Alpha Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning.
Hello. Please go ahead with your question. Yes.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yeah, Pranav, we can hear you.
Yeah, hi. Good morning and thanks for the opportunity. Just a couple of questions. One is on the yields bit. You mentioned that there was an interest reversal in this year, obviously because of higher slippages. But could you quantify the interest reversal? And is the large dip in this quarter?
Can you hear?
I think he's asking about yield decline. Is that right?
Can you ask the question again? I think it's
just
very clear.
I'll just repeat my question. We saw interest reversals in this year and quarter because of higher NPA accretion. Could you quantify the interest reversals? And is the entire yield dip in this quarter because of that, or is there any other factor?
So, your voice was slightly unclear, but in case your question is overall yield decline during Q4 FY25, is that correct?
Broadly, yes. He wants the number of interest.
So, number of interest reversal for the quarter.
So, before we give you the number, we want to clarify that the gross yield is not the interest income. It is the total top line, which includes the DA income, the treasury income, MTM gains and losses to average AUM. If you are seeing number from quarter on quarter, there could be some swing on quarter on quarter. But if you see the overall yield for FY24 versus FY25, we are broadly online. But for your information, the interest reversal for Q4 is 15.5 crore. And then this is for?
27 crore for the year.
So 15.5 crore is for Q4 and 27 crore broadly for FY25. Hope that answers the question.
Sure. The second bit is on the cost front. You mentioned it in the commentary as well that obviously this year operational cost was slightly higher because of probably higher collection efforts and so on and so forth. But how should one think about cost to average assets going ahead, given that if you look at any metrics, branches per employee per branches, disbursement per employee, all is not just for you but for the industry as a whole has been sort of.
So, how should think about cost to average assets?
So, Pranav, the answer to this is very simple. For us, what is the pressing need right now is to have a good asset quality. I think, for us, that is probably the need of the hour. And that is the reason why our OPEX has increased. Basically, by various measures of putting extra people and maybe more things, which we also put into line as such, We feel that this probably will be elevated at least for some time more now, because it's not just that you just put in people and just take them out in the moment stability starts happening, So it'll take a while before we are able to do it. But I think, technique is of our peak, and we are working very hard to, increase our operating efficiency moving ahead. And we definitely will probably see that FY26 will technically have a lower overall, operating expense ratio as what it was. So I think the last year probably is like a different year in terms of how it has happened. But going forward, definitely I think we'll get this also under control, once things stabilize across in the sector.
Right, but is it fair to assume that we probably settle at a slightly higher number than previous year's averages, given that, customer acquisition now becomes a larger part of the growth going ahead?
See, the growth is a separate factor, looking at portfolio asset quality becomes a different factor. But our sense is that we've got everything under control for us, and I think, we've reached practically the peak what we have to reach during the last year. Now it's only a question how we are able to look at various things, across the sector and try and bring it down, and it definitely will come down during this year.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And good luck.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Shreyas Pimple from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yeah. Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you so much for the opportunity, sir. My first question was on the yields. It seems like that the securitization income has dropped in this quarter. Could you, you know, throw some light on securitization demand in the market and how much securitization would you like to do in the coming quarters?
You know, I think you're talking about direct assignment transaction where the fund goes in the yield. So there is enough demand in the market. Depending upon our own strategy, we decide how much direct assignment transaction we want to do in a particular quarter. The number is broadly in the range of some 22 to 25% at the end of any quarter. But in terms of demand, means we have done some transaction during this quarter, which was lower than the previous quarters because we have raised a good amount of money through ECB routes and other transactions. So maintaining the liquidity means we decide, you know, how much, you know, we want to raise. But there is, as of today, we have not experienced any, should I say, demand issue from investors.
And as Jugal says, we took a conscious call of, you know, reducing this in terms of our portfolio size. And that is the reason why there has been a drop in the income, which does affect the gross yield as such. I think, you know, overall, if we really look at it, the best factor to look at is you should look at NIM. You know, they probably remain flat in the same.
Right. Thank you so much, sir, for this. Secondly, on the cost of funds, how much benefit do you see coming in from the rate cut cycle? We see that in Q4, you have already reduced your cost of funds by a bit. Can you throw some light on that, please?
I think it depends on the overall ecosystem as well. You know, as the overall rate starts going down in the market, I think we'll start getting a benefit with a lag. But our cost of fund has gone down in a difficult year, you know, from 11.9% to 11.2% this year. We feel that as in the overall ecosystem, the rates will go down. It will get benefit probably with a lag in case it's 50 basis more. Probably with the lag will get that benefit.
And Shreyas, you know, just to add up to that, you know, I think it's more important to maintain liquidity and get your tap running, you know, I think, you know, rather than just looking at interest rate, you know, because I think that's the probably, you know, the need of the hour and the way I think, you know, the narrative is there.
Yes, sir. Sir, I just wanted to know the mix of floating to, you know, fixed borrowings in the borrowing mix.
About 65% of the borrowing is on floating rate.
Understood. That is very helpful, sir. Last question was on, you know, the return metric. We see that our ROA has, you know, dropped in this year, of course, because of the anomaly that we saw in this year. Majorly because of higher OPEX, a little compression in NIMS. What factor do you see contributing to increasing the ROAs going ahead? In FY 26-27, what are the key things that you are focusing on, sir?
Shreyas, I think, you know, first of all, you should compliment us that we've got a positive ROA. I think, you know, that's more important rather than, you know, I think, you know, looking at NIMs and everything. You know, it's compression everywhere which is going. Our own sense is we want to see that our ROAs remain maintained by looking at credit cost to a larger extent. That's what our focus area is. NIMS, as I said, you know, will remain practically stable. So there is no, the thing, you know, we've grown also in our, in the year where possibly, I think growth was a big factor to really, navigate. You know, we've done that, you know. Our main focus remains entirely on containing our credit costs, and that is where we are, probably, you know, looking at, you know. So rest, I think, you know, is a factor of, and a byproduct of how we are able to contain our credit costs, you know.
Understood, sir. Understood. And just the last part on growth, would 15-16% be a fair assumption for growth in the coming years?
We are not giving a guidance right now because we just want to see how the first quarter pans out, to be very honest. But there will be growth, that much I can tell you. How much is something which is right now very debatable. We are putting in guardrails. We've already put in guardrails. We are looking at credit costs. We are looking at the entire matrix of how we evolve in terms of this whole scenario in the microfinance sector goes in. There will be growth. That much I can assure you, basically. But how much is, again, a matter of, I think, in a scientific way is what we will try and look at it. But we'll address that maybe probably post the first quarter.
Sure, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much for the opportunity and congratulations on the good set of numbers. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Vimal.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, please restrict yourselves to 2 questions. If you have any further questions, you may rejoin the queue. Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm audible, sir.
Yeah, you are, please.
Yeah, thank you very much, sir, for this opportunity. So just wanted to understand, I mean, your PAR 90 has peaked out and even your the provisioning and credit cost is coming down. So will it be right to say that, I mean, quarter on quarter we would see the credit cost improving only, I mean, not the quantum, I mean, not the absolute quantum, but on a percentage basis, yeah.
See, Deepak, I think, you know, it's fair to look at it when you look at it entirety as such. You know, there would be possible, you know, fluctuations which would happen quarter on quarter. I think, you know, that's probably fair part where I can say that, you know, I will not be able to comment on quarter to quarter basis as such. You know, but one thing which I'm very certain, which I can probably say it with certainty, is definitely for us, we've been able to contain our credit costs in the last year. We hope to do better than what we've done last year because we know how we are doing it. But if you look at quarter by quarter, I think I will not be able to probably give you a right answer. And that's not fair on my part because these things happen, you know, quarter by quarter, you know, like the first quarter always muted. There's always, you know, work on heat waves and definitely the thing. Now, how much is the quantum is something, you know, which we already have taken adequate measures to work on that. And we are working on it, you know, basically. But I think it'll be fair to only tell you our credit costs would definitely be less than what we've done last year, basically. That is the only thing which I can probably say with certainty.
So any guided range you can provide? I mean, last year you had provided 4.5% to 5% for FY25. So any guided range for FY26?
As I said, wait for just one quarter. You know, we're just trying to recalibrate and understand everything in the entirety as such, you know. We'll give our guidance definitely post the first quarter because we also did it last year also. We gave it practically, I think, after the first quarter.
Yes, we gave after the first quarter.
So, you know, I think it'll just wait for a quarter for us to give it, but we'll give our guidance. Yeah.
Fair enough, no problem. And my second question is on your guardrail. I mean, we are already, I mean, more than 40 days into this guardrail implementation. So what are the initial signs? Are you seeing any further stress increasing due to this implementation? So how is the on-ground situation? If you can help us with that.
That much I can say. Our rejection rates have jumped up by another 3%. That is the only thing which I am able to see and which is there. So, you know, and that doesn't affect us too much, basically. An increase of 3% of overall rejection rates, I think it is okay with us, you know. And we knew this, how much this was coming into.
Okay. And in terms of your efficiency, collection efficiency, any impact?
Because of this? No. Yes. No, absolutely.
Okay. And then how has been April month collection efficiency? If you can throw some light on that.
It's been fair. You know, I probably will not be able to give you much guidance on that. It's been fair, but we look at the entire quarter in its entirety. You know, picking out 1 month technically doesn't give us the answer to what we are also trying to, you know, tell you or try to find it ourselves, you know, but it's been fair.
Okay, it's been fair. Okay, understood. That's very helpful, sir. I mean, yeah, all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Rishikesh from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, can you share the slippages and the write-off number for Q4 and what it was year-on-year and quarter-on-quarter?
So the write-off number for Q4 was around 38 odd crores and you also need for the whole year. Whole year would be 301 crores.
And can you also share what it was for last quarter and last quarter same year?
Last quarter as of FY24. FY24, my credit cost was 2.35%, and while the year closed at 1.45%.
Credit My question was not with respect to credit cost, but with respect to the slippages and the write-offs.
The slippages this quarter was 32 odd crores.
No, it says
FY24. FY24 ka write-off. FY24, the write-off was 41 crores for the quarter four. So it is lesser.
Okay.
If you see YOY for the same quarter, the write-off is slightly lesser. Again, 41, we wrote off 38 crores this quarter.
And slippage is for the quarter, you said it's 32 crores, right?
32 crores is the slippage for the quarter. The total write-off for FY24 was 127 crores.
And the slippage number for last quarter, can you please share that?
Last quarter, meaning FY24. I don't have
no,
that.
Meaning Q3 of FY25.
So I'll share that offline with you. I think we shared it in the last earning presentation. If you go to the transcript, you'll find it there, but I don't have it handy right now.
No problem, no problem. I got it.
Okay.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Jay Prakash from Larsen & Toubro. Please go ahead. Jay Prakash, please go ahead with your question and unmute yourself if you're on mute.
Thank you
for the opportunity. Sir, you have Odisha 364 crore portfolio, approximate 4% portfolio, but the collection efficiency is very down. Which is the major district you are affected in Odisha?
Your voice is very feeble, Jay Prakash.
Sir, you have 364 crore portfolio in Odisha, but the collection efficiency is very less. 87.3 crore. Which is the major district in Odisha where you are affected most?
Which district, Madam?
Where you are affected most? Which district?
I do not have very granular detail on where which district probably is there, but if you look at the overall PAR numbers, it has improved from December 24 quarter to my March quarter. Basically, I think that is probably most significant. 364 crore of Odisha is close to about 4.2% of our on-book, and PAR 1 over there stands at about 11%, with PAR 90 at about 8.6%, which reflects in the collection efficiency which is there.
Sir, what is the basic reason in Odisha? You are at like higher PAR 1 in Odisha. Can you put some light on this?
Odisha is a stress state, as I mentioned earlier. It's a stress state. It's a general phenomenon which is there in the industry. It'll be better if you compare this with the industry numbers. I think then you'll probably get a better answer. That is the reason why it's been there.
Okay, sir. What is the April C percentage of zero plus?
I will not have that handy.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Anand Mundra from My Temple Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, what is the reason that our consolidated PAT is lower than the standalone PAT?
So, we revalued our investment into subsidiaries and there is some change in the tax rates for capital gain on investment. Because of that, there has been some gain in the standalone financials, and that gets neutralized in the consolidated financials because we eliminate the holding subsidiaries here.
All right. So none of the subsidiaries are loss making.
No, not at all.
I specified, I think, 7.5 crore was the PAT for.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, 2 crores was SHFL. Yeah.
Got it. And also, if I see a Q3 presentation, you had declared the book value mentioned there was 232, and at the end of Q4, it's mentioned as 230. So is this also due to the accounting change that has happened?
So 230 is the consolidated book value. Standalone book value has increased.
Consolidated is 230. Yeah, but standalone would be at...
higher by 25, 26 rupees.
Just one second, I can give you the standalone now.
258. There's a 28 rupee difference between.
Yeah, standalone is 258.
Got it. Okay. So I think this 230 number in the last quarter in the presentation was mentioned as 232, I think.
Standalone.
That was standalone, I think, you know. 230
was
standalone.
Okay.
I don't have it right now, but I think, you know, that it would be that only.
Okay. I'll connect with you offline in case there's still confusion. I'll have a check. Sure. And we had a management overlay of 16 crores until the previous quarter. Has that been consumed?
Yes, we have consumed that. You know, we have back-tested our model, and because of that, PD has slightly gone up. So if you see the overall coverage from last year, March versus this year, the overall coverage has gone down, but we have utilized that. We have tested the model, and it is, so to say, fine, and we have got it validated from external reputed consultant as well.
Okay. And so the final question was that the other income that has reduced this quarter, is it primarily due to the securitized, the DA income that comes in?
No, that's small amount of money. We got some carbon credit last year, which we have not received this year. So that is a marginal difference, but otherwise it's a small number.
Got it. Okay. That's it for mine. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Aditi Singh to give her closing remarks. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Alaric, and good morning, everyone, once again. Since we are at the end of the call, I would like to personally highlight one important point. One of the major challenges our nation faced this year was the impact of climate. It affected countless people's livelihoods and businesses, and it's an issue that deserves serious thought and sustained attention. As responsible individuals and institutions, we must ask ourselves, what role can we play? What actions, big or small, can we take to move toward a more sustainable and resilient future? We at Satin try our bit through green lending practices, promoting digital transactions, reducing our operational footprint, or simply being more conscious of how we engage with the things around us. So I just wanted to highlight this aspect which should be talking about more while the earning call get all discussing about the numbers, but these factors do play a silent role. If you have any other questions that remained unanswered during the call, you can get in touch with Ms. Shweta Bansal from the IR team or myself. Our details are there on the company's website. And as of now, the annual performance we've delivered this year is the outcome of science powered by the right strategies, right execution on the ground, and guided by clear long-term goals. On behalf of the entire Satin family, I extend my heartfelt thanks to our board members, investors, lenders, and every stakeholder who continues to believe in our journey. Thank you and have a good day.
Thank you, ma'am. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of GM Financial Institutional Securities, that concludes this conference. You may now disconnect your lines.